Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in.
Our first scripture reading this evening is Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7, and this is from the Message. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in a land of deep shadows, light, sunbursts of light. You repopulated the nation. You expanded its joy. Oh, they're so glad in your presence. Festival joy, the joy of a great celebration, sharing rich gifts and warm greetings. The abuse of oppressors and cruelty of tyrants, all their whips and clubs and curses, it's gone, done away with, a deliverance, as surprising and sudden as Gideon's old victory over Midian. The boots of all those invading troops, along with their shirts soaked with innocent blood, will be piled in a heap and burned, a fire that will burn for days. For a child has been born for us, the gift of a son for us. He'll take over the running of the world. His names will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Holiness. His ruling authority will grow, and there'll be no limits to the wholeness he brings. He'll rule from the historic David throne over that promised kingdom. He'll put that kingdom on a firm footing and keep it going. With fair dealing and a right living, beginning now and lasting always, the zeal of God of the angel armies will do all this. Our second reading for this evening is from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, from the Message. The birth of Jesus. About that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the hostel. There were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep, and suddenly God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified, and the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everyone worldwide. A Savior has been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for, a babe wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger." At once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please Him." As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the shepherds talked it over. "Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us." They left running and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. All who heard the shepherds were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear, deep within herself. The shepherds returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they had been told. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of Scripture. Amen.
We are the waiting ones, longing for the day to come when we are no longer waiting on the one who can save us from ourselves. Waiting with bated breath for hope to reach out its hand from heaven and heal our helpless hearts. Waiting for a light to spark, a light to dawn, a light to diffuse the dark we've drawn like curtains over our souls. Waiting for the promise to unfold like a map leading us to the treasure of treasures so we can behold and believe. Waiting for peace to supersede our anxieties and flow like a river through a dry and weary land where there is no water. Waiting for the Father to see fit to find us in our pit, pining in our sin, the spiritual slum we lived in. But when the fullness of time had come, he sent forth his only Son, incarnate one, the manifestation of God in the flesh, the epitome of a promise kept. He left heaven's majesty so we no longer have to be waiting. The birth of a baby, a king, come to redeem the world he created. God, born in a borrowed stable, the light of man in a makeshift cradle. This is not a fable. The one whom we have waited for is here. Peer into the manger and behold him who welcomes the stranger and breaks the chains of every captive. Our Maker, our Savior, our Master is here, casting our fear into the ocean of his love. Emmanuel, God with us. Go shout it on the mountain, because our waiting is done.
Well, let me start by saying Merry Christmas to everybody. And it's a joyous night. Some of you I met for the first time this evening. Others I've known for quite a while. But my name is Pastor Harold. I'm the teaching pastor here. If you're here or watching online or you're listening on demand, welcome. And we're glad you're with us this evening. It's fun to recognize family. It's a beautiful time of Christmas as you get together and you get to see people maybe you don't get to see very often or only a few times a year. So I know there's some of you that's the case tonight. And I think that's awesome that you can have that experience. It's a beautiful time with homemade cookies and the smell in the kitchen. Susie's been making pumpkin bread for seems like weeks now, pumpkin pies. The house has smelled pretty good for 2 weeks now. And I'm pretty grateful for that. We got a small gathering tomorrow. We have some of us that are absent. Susie's mom has COVID. She's 88, so pray for her mother. She's doing pretty good, though, right now. And we got some other kids that are ill, won't be with us. So it's stuff's out there. It's just around, unfortunately. So we'll be a small crowd tomorrow, but we're looking forward to it. But it's time to make memories. It's time to have stories. It's all kinds of things like that. I was reflecting on stories, just thinking about funny times at Christmas, humorous times at Christmas. And the one that really came to mind was, and this is for the deer hunters, so if we have deer hunters in the audience, you'll appreciate it. But Danielle, who's now the mother of three with a fourth one on the way, it's a long time ago, 30 years ago. When she was 3 years old, I put her to bed for the evening. I said prayers with her and shut the door and went about doing some things I was doing in preparation for Christmas. And I heard, I didn't have anything on, no background noise or anything, and I could hear sniveling going on. And I go, is she crying before Christmas Eve? What's up with that? And so I put my ear up to the door, and sure enough, I could hear her in there crying. And so I opened the door and kind of creeped in there a little bit and sat down on the bed. I could see the tears coming down her face, and I said, what's going on? What are you crying about? And she goes, you got to promise me something, Dad. And I said, what's that? She says, you got to promise that you won't shoot any of Santa's reindeer when they land on the red light. And I said, I promise. And I'm here to report that that never happened. I have not. If Rudolph is taken out, it wasn't because of me, I can promise you. Our story, you can see the message title there, Manifestation of the Goat. What kind of name is that for a Christmas slide or a Christmas title? But GOAT stands for the greatest of all time. And that's what we're celebrating tonight. Is the greatest of all time. And the manifestation of that. That's the story that we just got unpacked by Donna, who read that for us, and the prophecy of that that came out of Isaiah. And so that's what we're going to lean in tonight, is the greatest of all time. And what does that mean for us? And why did the greatest of all time have to come to earth and dwell among us, to walk among us, but not only walk among us, but ultimately be inside us? Why did that have to happen? And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. But we all have goats in our life. You have goats, the greatest of all time. Some of those people might be here with you right now. Could be grandparents, great-grandparents, your dad, your mom, siblings, people that just made a big difference in how your life's turned out. Those are the goats. We all have those people that we lean on, we think about, we reflect on, their wisdom, their experience, their laughter, their stories. We have all those things. And it's important to hang on to those things. It's important to have goats in your life to take you through the seasons of life. But we go back to this question, why was it necessary for Jesus to come to earth? And we have to, I think, remember that Jesus has always been here. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Jesus coming as an embryo, if you would, and formulating and eventually becoming a human and walking with us. And it wasn't so that we could have identity, you know, just identify with Christ, but because he identified with us, right? And that's why that walk took place, so he could walk among us and feel what we feel, see what we see, experience what we experience in life. So all that was purpose, but Jesus has always been here. And when you look at Genesis from the beginning of time, and you read Scripture and you study Scripture, it's always in the plural, meaning that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have always been here, long before creation ever happened, but from the beginning. And the first real reference we get to Jesus, if you would, is in Genesis 3:15, after the fall, when God is speaking directly to Satan and telling you that there's enmity between you and I. But you'll pay the price because your heel is going to be bruised. And victory will happen and the light of the earth will come into the world. And that's exactly why Jesus had to come. In our scripture reading, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 specifically, it says, and I quote, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light," end quote. And that, what does that mean? What does it mean that people that walked in darkness? And think about that for your own life. What does that mean? It's not talking about literally walking in the dark, although that's a scary deal, and I'll share a story about that in a minute. But it's talking about spiritually, the spiritually blind, walking through your life, basically living for your own self-interest. That's all you're about is your deal, whatever your deal is, and that's what you go through life living that way. And you're just in the dark when you're doing that. You're missing the point of life. You're missing what the real purpose of life is about. And that's why Jesus came, is to shed light on that truth and to explain it, unpack it for everybody. When we get into Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 13 through 14 specifically, it's a really important quote. I want to quote it right here. And it says, and I quote, "Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth." And then these three words are really important. Who please him. So, you know, we have to participate in this Christian walk, in this Jesus-centered life. We have a role to play. And we get to say yes to God's invitation. And we have say-so in God's invitation. And so the million-dollar question that all of us have to ask, and you have to ask this question, and if you really shine the spotlight of truth onto your own life here tonight, or if you're listening online, is does your life please God? Does the way you're living your life right now please God? It doesn't mean you're out there doing wicked, evil things, but are you just living for your own self-interest? It's just about your 401k, your Bitcoin, your FanDuel, your DraftKings, your football team, your work, your car, what you drive, what you wear, where you go, what you do. It's just about your deal, whatever your deal is. And that's what your life's about. And is that pleasing to God? And so that's what we all have to wrestle with, and that's what we all have to unpack. But this is what Jesus is really bringing home to us. Am I living for my own self-interest, or are we living for God's? And if I'm living for God's interest, I can find the Advent candle coming to life. I can experience true hope and peace and love and joy in my life when I'm divorced from my deal and living for God's glory. Because that's ultimately what it comes down to. Am I willing to let go of my own ambitions and dreams to live for God's glory? It doesn't mean I won't have goals and I won't achieve things and I won't get an education or have accolades or be successful in my entrepreneurship or in my job or whatever. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means what is the main thing in your life? What are you really focused on? What's pulling you? What is your purpose for getting up in the morning? What is your deal? That's the million-dollar question all of us have to wrestle with day after day after day. And we each have a choice day after day after day how we're going to live into that truth. That's what the Christmas message is all about. I want to go back, and I got some props. Deb found my props. She thought somebody's up here playing basketball in the gym. But it wasn't. But I want to ask you a question. How much is this ball worth? Maybe 20 bucks. In my hands, it's worth probably 20 bucks. But if I gave it to Michael Jordan or LeBron James, how much is it worth then? Millions, if not billions of dollars. It's a big difference. Just depends on whose hand the ball is in, right? And the same goes for volleyball. I know we got some volleyball players in here. No different. Who's the greatest volleyball player of all time? Do you know who that is? Carr Kharaj was the greatest volleyball player, coach, and teacher of all time, based on record. Net worth a couple million bucks. But that's what this ball is worth in his hands. In my hands, I don't think anybody give me $5 for this volleyball, right? But it makes a difference on whose hands the ball is in. Same way with a baseball. This baseball, it was really a baseball. Might be worth 10 bucks, 15 bucks at tops. But if I put it in the hands of Babe Ruth or Albert Pujols or Stan the Man, well, you know the price tag goes through the roof. So it just depends on whose hands the ball is in, right? It makes a difference. If I had this golf club, which may be worth about 25, 30 bucks tops, to Cleveland, CG1, Chris would know what that means. But this golf club in my hand or Chris's isn't worth anything but 20, 30 bucks. But if I put it in the hands of Tiger Woods, it could be worth $1 billion. See, it just depends on whose hands the golf club is actually in. If I had this stick, I could probably ward off a raccoon or something with it. Not a whole lot more. I might be able to keep Susie at bay for a while. That's about it, though, right? But if Moses had this staff, he'd part the Red Sea with it. See, it just depends on whose hands or what's touching it. If I had 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread, I could feed a few of us. But if Jesus had those 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread, he'd feed thousands. Do you see the difference? It's a huge difference in life. And ultimately, if I had these 2 nails, or I had some nails, or I had some spikes, I had some anchors, if you would, I might be able to tie down a swing set or a deer stand or something to that effect. But if you put these nails in the hands of Jesus, you'll save the whole world. Save the whole world, and not just in eternity, but here on earth. So it makes a difference in whose hands things are in. So you think about your own life. You think about your own worries and your own cares and your own burdens and your own challenges, your own depression, your own anxieties, all the stuff that you go through. And here's the deal. If it just remains in your hands, well, it is what it is, and you'll get what you get. And you keep on doing what you're doing, guess what? You keep on getting what you're getting. But man, if you turn those things over to God and you put them in the hands of Jesus, then he can deal with that. He can walk with you that. He can be within your pain and your suffering and your worries and your anxiety. And you can find peace and you can find hope and you can find joy. You can find a lot of things when you put your stuff in the hands of the right people and the right person. In this case, the greatest of all time, which is the GOAT. And so that's what I encourage you to do this holiday season, this Christmas season, is ask yourself, where are you at on your spiritual journey? Where are you really at tonight, as we say here on Christmas Eve? It's been a long year. It's been a long 3 years with COVID and everything else going on. It's rattled a lot of people's cages. Some people have drifted from church, never made it back. Some have gotten pretty casual, just sitting at home in their pajamas and watching it online. But they miss what this is really about. It's not about checking a box saying, I went to church. It's about coming all the way in, sitting all the way down, and committing to stay and do life with the people around you. To walk through all the seasons of life, the good, the bad, and ugly. It's about a kingdom community, and it's about living a Jesus-centered life. It's about having Jesus at the center of your life, following a Jesus-looking God, trying to live a Jesus-certain way. And here's the good news. It's only in that I'm going to have peace and joy and happiness and all the stuff that comes from Advent. It's only in that I'm ever going to have that. At any real level. So God wasn't created and didn't create us to know God intellectually. God created us to know God experientially. And we have to participate in this walk. And here's the say-so of it, because you have free will. Call it the greatest gift or the greatest curse. But you have a choice to say yes, or you have a choice to say no. And when you say no, you're living in the dark, I can just promise you. Even though the stars might be bright, your 401k might be up, I promise you, you're living in the dark. But if you bring all that stuff into the light, I'm just telling you, there's no better way to live. So wherever you're at on your spiritual journey, I hope you get to that space. If there's anything we can do to help you take the next step, great. We'd love to be able to partner with you and do that. But just do it somehow, some way, because it will make a big difference in how your life turns out, not just in this life, but for eternity. Amen? So with that, I'm going to invite our singers back up. I'm going to say a prayer for us, and we are going to sing a song. And then Donna's going to come up and lead us in an offering. And then I'm going to come back up and have a kingdom carry out. We'll do a benediction together, and then we're going to turn the lights down, and we're going to stand, and we're going to sing Silent Night as we go out tonight. So if you would, if you'd stand with me, we're going to pray, and we're going to sing. Lord, we thank you for your Son, the greatest of all time, that walked among us, but not only walked with us, resides in us if we turn our life over to you. If we put our lives in your hands, you dwell inside us, and we are in you, and you are in us. Help us to know that truth, that whatever's in our channel, whatever's blocking us off, whatever's been blocking us off from you, from our true relationship from you, we ask that you remove it and replace it with the willingness and the honesty and the humility and the open-mindedness it takes to know you in a real level. Lord, we just pray for any personalities that have compromised our walk, that have caused us to be resentful or just get astray or just leave the church altogether. We just pray that we can heal from that, we can move on, and know that we need to be in community with each other. We need to be a kingdom-centered place, doing stuff together and making a difference in our community, but also being blessed in our own lives. So, Lord, that's what we turn over to you tonight on this Christmas Eve. We turn our lives over to your hands, because we know in your hands you can do amazing things. In our hands, all we do is just keep shuffling the chairs on the Titanic. So, Lord, we're just praying that we can have the willingness to do that tonight. And we pray for it, not just for ourselves, but the people we love, the people who aren't here, the people around the world, the people that are struggling in all kinds of ways tonight. And we pray it, and we pray it boldly in your Son's name. And all God's people said, amen.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hilltran United. Hilltran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hilltran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app. Or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hilltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.